Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel. That's the first Gospel. And we're turning to chapter 7. So far in our study, we have been considering, really, why it was the Lord employed parables. That is, why he told earthly stories in order to set forth heavenly truth. And today we're going to come to our first study of an actual parable. Let's read then from chapter 7 of Matthew. We'll begin at the verse 24. Verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now notice those words, "I will liken him." Here's what he is like, the Savior said. I'm going to paint the picture of the person who hears my word and obeys it. Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." I'll paint you another picture, says the Savior. This time it's a picture of someone who, hearing the gospel, doesn't obey it. Here's a picture of that person. "He built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." The scribes taught, but it was mechanical. It was like listening to a robot. There was no feeling, no passion, no power, no authority with their teaching, but not so with the Savior. There was authority in how he spoke, and he drove home his words to hearts, and the people were astonished. This was so different from what it was they were used to. Let's look then at this parable that the Savior is setting before us. It's not the first of the parables, but he told this parable toward the very beginning of his ministry. And it's one of the more important of the parables. And that's why we're starting with it. The first thing I want you to notice is the picture that the Savior paints here. And it is of house builders, men who built houses. Let me tell you something, boys and girls. You need a house in which to find shelter for all eternity. See, boys and girls, there's a storm coming. I was just reading in the news today, on the east coast, up County Down, County Antrim, there's likely to be very strong winds later today and tomorrow. But our storms are nothing like some of the storms that the world has seen, and especially of late, I'm sure you will have heard of the storms that hit the Caribbean area and also Texas. And now another storm came and it hit Florida and is moving up the east coast of the USA. And it's destroying all before it. People have been killed. Huge floods coming in from the sea. The strangest of behavior taking place in the waters of the ocean. I saw where, because of the influences of these storms and the power of the winds, the sea in one area went away out and disappeared. And there were many creatures left stranded on the dry bed because such was the force and suction of winds that the surface of the water of the ocean was sucked away back. Of course, it came in again, and it came in with a vengeance. And there was a huge wall of water, as high as the ceiling and more, that burst out over the shoreline and flooded many areas. Real big storm compared to anything we ever see. We need to be thankful, you know, that living where we don't see these extremes of weather that many other people do see. We need to be thankful with the little drizzle that we see almost every day, but it's nothing compared to what some people have to suffer. And the Saviour is speaking here of a storm and how there is a need for us to build a shelter, and it's a shelter for eternity. He says, those who hear my words and do them, they're like those who build a house, a solid, lasting, permanent structure that will provide them with shelter. A Christian, then, is someone who hears the words of the Lord Jesus and acts upon them, obeys them. Coming here to our Christian school, sitting every morning and hearing various aspects of the gospel doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. Going to Sunday school, learning the catechism, that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is when you take note of these words that are spoken in the gospel and act upon them. Obey them. That's what the Saviour is saying here. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man. You're only wise if you obey the gospel. Oh, boys and girls, I would that you would learn that. There is nothing more foolish than a person who hears the gospel and ignores it. Now, where does that put you this morning? The most of you have heard the gospel now for quite some time. Have you done anything about it? Have you obeyed it? Or have you lived as a fool, defying, rejecting, ignoring the word of the Lord? A wise man, then, is someone who heeds the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He is like this man in the parable. He sets out to build a house, a secure place against the storms that are coming. Now, this truth is illustrated throughout the scriptures. Men are urged throughout the scriptures to find shelter from the troubles that most certainly are coming upon this world. And I'm not talking about earthly troubles. I'm not talking about storms or wars or famine or disease. I'm talking about the day of God's judgment. It's shelter from that which the Bible urges upon us. As I say, throughout the scriptures, you find this matter brought before man again and again and again, and illustrated. Noah, didn't he build a shelter from the coming judgment of God upon the earth? He built an ark, and it says he built it to the saving of his household. It was a place into which he could go when the storms began. And he was safe. And that's what the gospel's all about. You have got to find a place of safety for your soul in the face of the judgments of God. When God visited Egypt with judgment, there was a place of safety for his people. Wonderfully simple. They didn't have to go out and build a place. They simply took the blood of a lamb and marked it upon the doorposts, then on the lintel. And that provided them with shelter. They were safe as long as they stayed within that house, thus marked by blood. Everybody else in Egypt who didn't have this shelter, the shelter of the blood, the firstborn in every household were visited, and God's judgment fell upon them. So that again and again and again throughout the scripture, you have God pressing upon men and women the need they have of a place of safety, a place of shelter, a place of security from the judgment that's coming. God has been most faithful. Most faithful. He hasn't put up one sign warning of the danger, but there's sign after sign after sign after sign. And you have been warned. You have been told of the need of shelter. Now, what have you done about it? What have you done about it? I saw a little picture, it's actually a little video, on one newspaper site of a man in Florida. And the headline was, "What storm surge?" And it was sort of saying, here's a man, he has heard about the warnings of the huge waves that are coming in off the sea, but he's sort of saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And here he is, standing down on the shore, behind the sea wall and he's looking out, and the next thing a huge wave comes over and he's just washed head over heels away back. That's why they put the headline, "What storm surge?" Implying that's what was in his mind as he looked out and suddenly got hit by tons and tons of water. Oh, maybe you say the same. What judgment? What danger? What is God talking about? I don't feel any threat. But I tell you this, when God warns, you can be sure there is something very wonderful, very great, very terrible behind that warning. God's warning you today, you boys and girls, he's warning you today. You need a place of shelter. You need a place of security that will hide you. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 32, and the verse 2 really is a wonderful verse. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A man. Oh, the gospel points us to the place of safety and security where we will find the shelter that we need from the judgment that's coming. And that place is found in a man, not in a church, in a man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is ultimately referred to here in Isaiah 32. He's the shelter. That's why we sung that lovely hymn, "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide." A shelter in a time of storm. Have you found a hiding place in the Lord Jesus? Have you come to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, I need to be sheltered from the judgment that's coming. I know I'm a sinner, and I know that I deserve judgment, and my sins will be judged. But I'm coming to thee, Lord, for shelter. For you've promised to receive the poor sinner and give them shelter." Have you done that? Have you done that? Let me notice with you something else. We all need a house to shelter in for eternity. That's what the Savior's teaching. The man built a house. Then notice that this house had to have a proper, an adequate foundation. He talks about the wise man building on a rock. He talks about the foolish man building on the sand. Oh, we need to make sure that we're building on a rock. That our house, as it were, is cemented, joined to, united with, has become one with the rock. If we're clinging to the rock, then we're safe. We're safe. That's why the hymn says, "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide a shelter from the time of storm." When you're in Christ, the storms of God's judgment will not reach you. It must be a rock there. And the Bible makes clear that Christ is the rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the verse 4, we have these simple words, "That rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. Speaking from the Old Testament times of that rock from which the waters poured forth during the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And Paul says that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. Christ is pictured by that rock. And boys and girls, the rock upon which we must build is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Psalm 18, the verse 2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." It's very obvious that to the psalmist, the Lord was everything. He was everything. Listen again to his words. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God and my strength." He's everything to me. Is the Lord Jesus everything to you? Is he everything to you? And we do notice that he starts off by saying, "The Lord is my rock." I'm on him. I'm linked to Christ the conqueror and to Calvary's victory too. And that assures me in the darkest hour that God will see me through. When you are linked to Christ, when you have embraced him and are clinging to him, then you're safe and secure. And you find that he's your everything. He supplies your every need. There is no want to them who know the Lord Jesus as their rock. I'll read another verse. This time is Psalm 95, verse 1. O come and let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Boys and girls, it's a great thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. There's not a day goes by in my life, but I hear news, I hear of events and happenings that make me think deep within myself, oh, what a mercy that I'm saved. The troubles that I have just heard coming upon this person or that nation or that country, it'll never come on me because God saved me. It doesn't make me think to myself how wonderful I am. No, it makes me think to myself, why did God ever have mercy on the like of me and save me from that trouble that I see falling on others every day? There's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ as the rock of your salvation. We have to place upon him our whole dependence. As a man building a house on a solid foundation of a great rock is just placing the whole weight of that building upon the rock. It's all resting on the rock. So we must attach ourselves to the Lord Jesus by faith. Not by cement, but it's by the cement of faith. That's how you attach yourself to Christ. You believe in him. You say, Lord Jesus, I hear your gospel. I hear your words. I hear your promises. And I believe them. And I'm linking myself to you. Do you believe the gospel today? Do you? Have you obeyed the gospel and put your faith in the Lord Jesus, even as he requires of us? I'll close with one more quotation, this time from Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Are you resting on Christ? Have you a good foundation beneath your feet so that no matter what will come today, tomorrow, or in any time in the future, you're safe and secure in the Lord Jesus? In the little magazine that we have for the school called Cheering Words, in one of the latest editions, there's the story of a rock in which the man who wrote the hymn, The Cleft of the Rock, found shelter from a storm one day. And as a result of that, he thought to himself, well, here's a wonderful illustration of the gospel. I was safe, I was dry, I was secure, as I hid in the cleft of the rock. That's what it is to be in Christ. On Calvary, he was wounded for us. And there's safety in his wounds. Just as this rock, you'll see a picture of it in the little magazine, was at some time in the distant past split by the forces of nature. And that split provided a place of shelter. So the Lord Jesus at the cross was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. And in his wounds, in his blood shedding, there's safety for you today. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of your hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our heavenly Father, may it be today as it was when the Savior first told this parable. The people were astonished, for he spoke with authority. Lord, may the authority of thy word be known and felt in the hearts of the boys and girls here today, and may any not saved be persuaded to come and find shelter in Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for us now, I ask of thee. Bless the school in every department and in every way this day, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.